Thankful for His faithfulness tonight. Would you just say amen? Thankful that our Lord is faithful. We are going to continue our study in the book of Colossians. The title of the message tonight is Pray for an Open Door. If I can just remind you, last week we looked at chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. Keep alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Paul is telling the believers of the Colossian church to pray for one another. The Greek there means to courageously be persistent in your prayer, to hold fast and not let go. You know, I found myself recently, and it should have been more than just recently, to tell people that I'm really praying for them. Because somehow God has allowed that to be the only thing that we can do. Somehow our first choice should be prayer. It has somehow fallen to our last resort. So last week we took the time to make sure that we devoted ourselves to prayer, to pray for one another with a heart of thanksgiving. Paul continues on in verse 3, asking for prayer. But now he's asking personally. That's a good idea. Hopefully you're not of the mindset, the prideful mindset, that you just won't ask for prayer. Hopefully you're not one that internalizes things and hides your hurt or your pain or your suffering or your heartache and you just close the door and you want people to leave you alone. Paul is not like that. Paul is asking for prayer. Look there in verse 3. Praying at the same time for us as well. The leadership. He's asking prayer for the leadership. And what is he asking? That God may open up to us a door for the Word. Notice this first truth. We are to pray. What should we pray? That God will open a door for the Word. This word prayer means it's in the past tense and it's calling for a continual activity. It's a calling that we should make prayer a habitual pattern of our life. It's in the middle voice, and this indicates that we initiate the prayer, but we are also a participant in it. We started, but we're not alone. We have someone that is with us in the midst of that prayer, and it's the Holy Spirit, it's God the Father, and it's His Son, Jesus Christ. We're to pray that God would open a door for His Word. Paul is in prison. If I were in prison, I wonder what would have been my first request. Dear saints, pray that I get out of this place. Pray that, oh God, would change my situation. That's not the heart of Paul. That's not how God has matured Paul. It's striking, isn't it, that it's just not there. But Paul has this eternal mindset. Remember in chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, 2, he had already told the Colossians how they should live, and now he is an example of that life. Paul said this, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Doesn't mean that he didn't want to get out of prison. He just had prioritized things in his life. He said, okay, God, you've got me here. Okay, I've got walls around me. I can't go at my leisure. I'm here. What's more important for me to get out of this prison? Or is it more important for me to for you to open a door so that your word may go forth? And this word in this context is the gospel. You know what? This begs the question. What is your prison? What prison are you trying to get out of, but God has allowed it so that you will be in a position so that He might open the door so that the gospel might be preached to people that otherwise may not have ever heard it in that circumstance. He's using you as an eternal tool of salvation to someone who needs to hear the truth. This open door, the word here is a literal door. But it's symbolic here. He's saying, I'm shut behind something. Pray that God would open the door that only God can open. We're not Arminians. We can't break the door down. This door that opens the heart of a man or woman, boy or girl, this regeneration that goes on is a work of God, and we should pray that God would open the door. He asked that on several occasions, or he spoke to this analogy of open doors. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, the wide door for effective service has opened to me. And there are many adversaries. This door was open. He was able to present the gospel, and he was able to stay in Ephesus for 3 years. God opened the door. We see in 2 Corinthians 2:12, when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me, again, in the Lord, the work of God, we should pray that God will open a door for His Word. Luke records that when Paul and Barnabas returned from their first missionary journey, look there in Acts 14:27, they had come and gathered the church together. They reported all things, notice this, that God had done with them and how He had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. It's the work of God to open the door and to open the heart. And we should be faithful in praying for our relatives, our loved ones, the people that come into our life, that God would open their heart for the truth of the gospel. So we are to pray for an open door. Paul is requesting it. Well, what else do we see? What else should we be praying for? Look at the second part of verse 3. So that we may speak forth the mystery of God. He wants to make sure they understand what he's talking about when he says word. He's talking about the mysteries of Christ. What is that? Well, the mysteries of Christ are those teachings that God saw fit to give to us in the New Testament that were not fully explained in the Old Testament. The mystery of Christ. The virgin birth, oh, it may have been referred to, but it wasn't understood until the coming of the Lord. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the infilling of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, all those things that dealt with Christ, God, Emmanuel, with us. Pray that we will speak forth the mystery of Christ. That's God's call on our life, that we would not fall back from that. Thirdly, what do we see? What are all these requests? I mean, we have prayer time on Saturday morning, and we list probably between 30 and 40 prayers. Boom, boom, boom. You're going to see five tonight that Paul is specifically asking for. Pray for an open door for the Word. Pray that we will speak forth the mystery of Christ. Thirdly, pray even in the midst of my imprisonment that I will speak forth the gospel. He's been imprisoned for it, and he still desires to teach it and preach it. I remember sitting behind or next to two caskets 4 weeks ago, and I knew that Sean and Donna would want me to share the gospel to about 300 of you that were there, or 400. And more importantly, I knew that Jesus Christ would have me to do that. But do you know, even in my mind, there was a battle going on that Satan was saying in my mind, you don't need to do that. They don't need to hear the gospel. They need to be comforted. They don't need to hear the full truth that man is lost and we are in need of a Savior because we're a sinner. And if we die in our sins, we're going to go to hell and spend eternity there. They don't need to hear that. Don't get into those things. And literally, I had to almost speak to that voice and say, no! Even in the midst, Paul was saying, even in the midst of his imprisonment for being put in the prison for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was not going to stop from sharing that precious truth You know why? He looked in the eyes of those men that guarded him. Those men that had to keep their eyes on him. Now, he was able to move about somewhat freely. But he was not going to keep his mouth shut because he had been imprisoned. See, Paul's imprisonment did not spell the end of his ministry. As I mentioned earlier, what is your prison? And whatever your prison is, you have to understand that's not the end of your ministry. It's the beginning of your ministry. It's a new dawn. It's a new door that's been opened. Whatever that is. Remember, when Paul wrote, Paul was in prison when he wrote the book of Colossians, when he wrote the book of Ephesians, he wrote the book of Philippians, and he wrote the book of Philemon. He also evangelized all those that he came into contact with, whether they be a mob in Jerusalem, whether it be Felix, Herod, Roman soldiers, members of Caesar's household, or the members of Rome's Jewish community. It was an open door for him. His ministry wasn't over in prison. It was just beginning. What is your prison? How do you feel about that? And he summed it up. In prison, in Rome, recorded in Acts 28, 30 through 31. He stayed there 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness, unhindered. He saw his open door. He saw that he was free in Christ, even in prison. And so should we. What should we pray for Paul? What is he asking for us to pray? For an open door for the Word, that we'll speak the truth of the mystery of Christ. Thirdly, even in the midst of our imprisonment or his imprisonment. Fourthly, what should we do? We should pray again. What? Well, look there in verse 4. In order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. What does he want me to pray? What is he asking those Christians to pray? That Paul would speak clearly and plainly the gospel. This word for clear, phanerios, is a compound word. And both words in the compound word means light. This is what he's saying. In order that I may bring not just light, but that I might bring light upon light. This word in the Greek means to make visible, to call someone to see the truth, to make known. William MacDonald says it this way in his commentary. Paul is anxious to make it clear. That is, to preach it in such a clear manner that it will be readily understood by the people. This should be the desire of every Christian who seeks to make Christ known. There is no virtue in being deep. We should aim to reach the masses of humanity. And in order to do so, the message must be presented simply and clearly. See, the Gnostics were those that were making it hard. The Gnostics were those that were making it more mysterious. And Paul is saying, no, it's a play on words. So you guys say it's a mystery. We say it's a mystery too. But this mystery has been unveiled. And he brings it simply. And the gospel is this: Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose the third day. Do you need forgiveness? Would you like forgiveness? Paul prayed that he would be clear and easy to understand. That is the true teacher's heart. As you study this word, it became evident to me that this should be the teacher's prayer. This word is an incredible word. Let me just read some of its renderings. It means to make apparent. It means to make visible. It means to make crystal clear. It means to make known that which has been hidden. It means to expose this thing to view, to be plainly, so that it might be plainly recognized, to be thoroughly understood. Wouldn't that be a wonderful prayer? Oh, dear God, as I open Your Word in front of this class tonight, my heart is that this can be seen clearly, that it is crystal clear, that what has been hidden in the past would be open to them tonight, that it would be exposed to their view, it would be plainly recognized and thoroughly understood. That's Paul's request. And then we see his final prayer in this section of Scripture. In order that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. What is he saying? What are the requests? That God will open a door for the Word, that we will speak forth the mystery of Christ, even in the midst of our imprisonment, that we would speak clearly and plainly the gospel. And the fifth prayer request from Paul's lips is this, that I would fulfill my duty as a minister of the gospel. That word ought means to bind and to tie together. It means something of necessity or need. It's something Paul had to do. He must proclaim the gospel clearly. He must proclaim the gospel boldly. He was under compulsion. Notice there in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. 1 Corinthians 9:16, if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I'm under compulsion, for woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. And he says the same thing. Look there in Ephesians 6:19. The Colossian church needed it. The church in Ephesus needed it. Because this is what he says. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly. And here's that word again, as I ought to speak. Well, you know, we don't have to pray that prayer for Paul anymore. He's not needed that prayer for about a little over 1900 years or so. Do you know who needs this prayer today? I need this prayer. You need this prayer. And we all need this prayer. So let's look at it with that mindset. Let's apply this truth to our church tonight and to every teacher in our church and every leader in our church and every believer in our church. What should I pray for myself? What would you desire for others to pray? Look at that, that God would open a door for the Word. That would be a wonderful way to start your day before the Lord, wouldn't it? Oh, God, open a door for Your Word in my life today. And remember, we don't get to pick the doors. God in His sovereignty chooses and opens the doors for us. That we will speak forth the mystery of Christ. Even in the midst of my imprisonment, even in the midst of going through the most awful thing that I may ever go through, whatever it might be as far as finances, personal health, oh God, don't let those things become a prison that silences me. Oh God, let that be a prison, Father, and You open the door so I may speak and teach through it. What should we pray for ourselves? What should we ask others to pray? That I would speak clearly and plainly the gospel. And fifthly, that we would all fulfill my duty, the Great Commission, as a minister, not a pastor, as one who has been commissioned as an ambassador of Jesus Christ to take His Word to the world. Would you bow your heads with me this evening? How has this spoken to your life? What must you do to be a part of the answer to this prayer? Oh, we ask God, oh God, do it. And then He does it. And then we must, by His strength and power, walk through the door. Are you walking through those doors? We're going to open the altar in just a moment. Again, it's our act of worship. You might want to come and pray and ask God to help you make this your everyday prayer. You may want to pray for someone else. Again, we just want to allow you to have an opportunity to respond. You may want to come and share the fact that you may not know Christ, but you have a desire to know Him, and that means that God's opened a door in your life and in your heart, and we will help you understand what God is doing. Maybe for you, you're a visitor tonight and you're looking for a church home that you can come in and love and be loved. And God said, this is the place, and we would encourage you to present yourself for membership. God will meet your need. Let your request be made known to Him tonight. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen.